Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Monday, May 7th, 2018. The time is 9:33 a.m. If you're joining us off-net or online, we're in Juneau, Alaska, the state capitol, fifth floor, room 532. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this morning, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Beautiful day.
Senator Olson.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Michicki is excused from a call of the Finance Committee this morning. We have two items on today's agenda, HB 47, Municipal PERS Contribution and Interest, as well as HB 233, the Extension of the Education Tax Credits. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? Seeing and hearing none, the first item on today's agenda is HB 47. It's an act relating to certain municipalities with a population that decreased by more than 25% between 2000 and 2010 that participated in the defined benefit retirement plan of the Public Employees Retirement System of Alaska to contribute to the system an amount calculated by applying a rate of 22% of the total of all base salaries paid by the municipality to the employees of the municipality who are active members of the system during a payroll period. This affects PERS and TERS contribution. We heard this bill on April 25th, 2018. The public hearing was opened and closed. My office received no amendments. Senator Bishop, could I have a brief review of the fiscal note?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Fiscal note number four still applies. Department retirement payments, appropriation to PERS, state assistance. Allocation, all other PERS, OMB, component numbers 2866. Conduit Human Resources Services and the PERS actuarial consultant has calculated the financial effects of this bill should it pass. The basic results will be in a shortfall in actuarial projected PERS employer contributions in the following amounts. Fiscal year 18, $148,000. The explanation is the supplemental appropriation. Since the bill is effective immediately, the bill would also assume a 2018 supplemental contribution for the impacted PERS municipalities for salary contributions that would not be collected as a result of this reduction of the salary floor for the four mentioned municipalities. And FY19, that was $141,000, fiscal year 21-33, fiscal year 21, $124,000, fiscal year 22, $116,000, 23, $116,000, fiscal year 24, $98,000 in the out years. This bill is effective immediately. The bill is effective immediately and is prospective. Prospective, I want to emphasize that, and principal amounts owed by the impacted PERS municipalities are still due for the years 2009 through to 2017. The interest rate to charge on these outstanding payments would be determined by the plan administrator.
Are there questions on the fiscal note? There will be an estimated FY18 supplemental of $148,000. Representative Foster, Mr. LeBeau, if you'd join us at the microphone. Co-Chairman Foster, if you could tell the people of Alaska what this bill does so that we know what we have before us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Representative Neil Foster, House District 39. And the city of Galena had lost over 25% of its population due to the closure of the Air Force there, and as a result, lost a number of its city employees, and they're currently paying employees that they don't have, and we're just asking that that be fixed. So,
Mr. LeBeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize for the length of the title. The bill resets the FY08 floor for communities who lost more than 25% of their population between the 2000 and 2010 census, and that reset date is FY12, and then it also allows the PERS administrator to negotiate the interest rate on delinquent payments.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Representative Foster, if I could put it in perspective, I don't get to see my grandson, who is 4 years old, and the only time he gets to see me during the spring of a year is on TV. And so I try to make it as simple as possible, so if he wants to ask me questions, he can. So the bill before us is helping some smaller communities that had people that moved away from it, and the cities can't afford to pay the contributions that are calculated into the TERS system because those employees aren't there any longer and there's not income coming into that city. Is that close to accurate in very simplistic form?
That's absolutely accurate, Madam Chair.
And so while we're taking on these issues one time, one community at a time, it could be perceived, and I won't ask you to comment on this, Chairman Foster, but it could be perceived by others as unfair. These are unique circumstances. There are two smaller cities, communities that are being affected. St. George has lost all of their state employees, as I understand it, and the city is being ate alive by interest payments, basically, on the communities are being ate alive by interest on the contributions that they are unable to make, and to the point where their revenue sharing is not even being released to them because these payments are made. Is that a fair understanding of what's happening with the choices in front of us?
I would concur with those remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman Foster. Are there any questions on the bill before us, House Bill 47? Are we ready to move the bill? Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 47, version 30-LS0281/alpha from committee with the accompanying fiscal note and committee recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, House Bill 47, version A, moves from committee with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations. Thank you, Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senate Finance.
Brief it is while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. The next item before us is House Bill 233. The short title would be Education Tax Credits. We heard this bill on April 26, 2018. We heard the Senate companion version on March 26, 2018. That was SB 116. A new CS was presented, and we heard the sectional. We opened and closed the public hearing, and we reviewed the fiscal notes. We have a new CS before us, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move committee substitute for House Bill 233, version 30-LS0152/tango before the committees are working document.
I'll object to understand the new CS before us. Ms. Lucky, your name for the record.
Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Julie Lucky, and I'm staff to Senator McKinnon. You'll notice that the bill in front of you every time we put out a CS gets a little bit longer, and that's because if there's one change made, it has to be made in all seven areas of the statute. So rather than going through section by section, I'll explain the changes and use the explanation of changes summary, which you should have in your packet, that lists all of the sections that, where the changes are made. So this would be work draft version T. As the committee may remember, the previous CS, well, I'll step back just a little bit, the current law allows what they called a sweet spot. So the lower charitable donations were, the credit was 50% of the donation. There was a sweet spot in the middle where it was 100% of the donations could be claimed as credits. And then later on, the higher donations would then revert back to 50%. The previous CS had a 50% across the board, so each charitable donation would be eligible for a 50% credit. The CS in front of you reinstates the sweet spot at 75%. So the tiers have not changed, but there is a 75% credit available for contributions over $100,000 and up to $300,000. So those changes can be seen in sections 2, 7, 12, 17, 22, 27, and 33 of the bill. These sections are effective January 1st, 2019. In 2 years, starting in 2021, the 50% across the board credit would be given. So the sweet spot would be eliminated starting in 2021. And you can see those changes in sections 3, 8, 13, 18, 23, 28, and 34 of the bill. And again, these sections are effective January 1st, 2021. The other change was recommended by a committee member that allows in-kind donations of equipment. And there is some language regarding how that equipment would be appraised. I'm happy to read more about that. I think that the committee members were provided a copy of the CS, but it did come out late last week, so I'm not sure if everyone has had a chance to review that information. But basically, the language would provide that an in-kind donation could be claimed. However, the department would put up regulations on how the value of that item would be appraised. We do not yet have a new fiscal note for the CS. We do have Mr. Ken Alper, the director of the tax division, here to explain the fiscal changes. But what I would point the members to is the tax division has very helpfully given us a list of scenarios, and it will look like this. There are many of them probably in your packet because they have been very good about running scenarios for or cases for each of the scenarios we've gone through. The document you want to look at was printed 4/27/2018. And what you would see in the fiscal note is that the first 2 years would have the case 4 amount, and I believe that's $6,347,520. And then you'd see starting in 2021, it would step down to the case 2 amount, which was in the previous fiscal note at $5,424,282. And I would defer to the tax division for any additional questions on the fiscal impacts. That is the CS, Madam Chairman.
Are there questions on what the CS does? Senator Olson?
Actually, I was wondering that on the changes that were made, what kind of support did you have from some of the institutions that called in? Was there any?
Senator Olson, I can answer that. My emails, they would like all of it. In fact, if we could give them more money, they would take it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there objection to adoption of the CS? Seeing and hearing none, the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill 233 is before the body. I'd like to invite Representative Tuck, Majority Leader Tuck, to the microphone. Representative Tuck, if you could give us comments on the overall bill so that the people of Alaska know what's before us, and then if you could comment on the changes that were made from the previous version to what's before us today.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, committee members. I'm Representative Chris Tuck from District 23, South Central Anchorage. And before us is House Bill 233. I want to thank you again for considering it. The education tax credits basically are where institutions are able to receive donations from industry and private interest and then they receive a tax credit for those contributions. This is a way that we connect industry with our education institutions so they can help out as well as direct and guide the students to the industries that they hope to see them come through. House Bill 233 was originally just to extend the education tax credits that way because it was the expiration was December of 2018, and so this will allow this to be extended to January 1st of 2025. Been a few changes in the House. We did add from regional accreditation to include national accreditation as well, and that's more professional and career-oriented schools and apprenticeship programs. And now we have the CS in front of us. We had a previous CS, which includes the going from $5 million down to $1 million in this CS as well. And then with the contributions going from 50% back to a 75% in the sweet spot, I think is will give us a good idea of give us a good track record to see if that sweet spot is still necessary, still needed. So I think it's a good resolution.
It's a compromise. Representative Tuck, you wanted it to leave it alone and just extend, right? I don't want to. I know that you would prefer that it was at 100%. At least that was the bill that was introduced.
Yes, and that was just to get a clean bill. I know that when we started looking at what we can do more with the education tax credits, it was very difficult because of all those sections of statutes that are affected by it. And so then we just decided just to keep it simple and just extend it and then begin working on how we can refine it and make it better.
Thank you. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I think this is a good compromise, and I think the advantage is, I mean, we were talking about going to 50%, which we didn't really know the impact of that, if that would reduce the amount of tax credits, the advantages that our young people had. But it does seem to me if we go to now going to 2 years at 75%, it gives us an opportunity to really study this for the next 2 years and in 2 years' time to decide, is it working or is it not working? Is 75% right? Is 50% right? Is 100% right? So would you agree that this at least gives us time to take a good look at the results?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens. Yes, I do agree this would give us an opportunity. I don't know how that sweet spot came about. I don't know what the research was done and the background of that, but this will give us an idea looking forward and whether we're doing the right move.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Follow-up?
Well, thank you, Madam.
Thank you. Senator Bishop, could you talk about the in-kind so that the people of Alaska understand that particular component of the bill?
Yes, ma'am. That equipment component had been in the bill for 4 years. If I'm misspoken, I know the tax man's in the room. But the way it was written, the donor was not able to take advantage of the credit because we didn't have the way it was written in law. So after, I think, working with your office, working with tax, and coming up with the new language and the forthcoming regulation to do the appraisal so we have a true value that it would be functional. And to my knowledge, it was only applied once in the last 4 years and was deemed non-competitive. We couldn't get there. So this hopes to streamline that and hopefully be able to make it work this time. So thank you.
Thank you. And for those that are following, it's to qualify for a credit under this section, equipment must be appraised consistent with regulations adopted by the Department of Revenue to determine the value of the contribution for purposes of this section. And so some discussion was had about making sure that the tool or whatever was being donated was actually of value to the receiving agency or receiving company. Any other questions for the sponsor? Thank you, Majority Leader Tuck. Are we ready to move the bill? Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 233, version 30-LS0152, /tango from
Committee. Senator Bishop, I apologize. We didn't bring up the Director of Revenue, the Director of the Tax Division. Mr. Alper, could you join us at the microphone? Getting ahead of myself, Senator Bishop. Thank you for giving me the eye. Mr. Alper, we are going to move the bill pending a fiscal note, an updated fiscal note. Could you please, for the committee and those following at home, talk to us about the impact of the 50% availability for a credit, then the 75, then the 50 on the 100,000 to 300,000?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Ken Alper, Director of the Tax Division for the Department of Revenue. There is a fiscal note that has been drafted, is working its way through the process. It should be able to join the committee before this bill hits the floor. The what you've created is a step down, and the original, the previous version of the fiscal note had a split fiscal year in FY19 because the credit rate changes are on a calendar year basis, whereas the fiscal note's on a fiscal year basis, so we did a split. There's a similar split in FY21 where the second step from the 75 to the 50% happens. So you see numbers, I could read the numbers across if you like. The number is, and again, I hate doing this, the baseline is as if the tax credit goes away on January 1st, 2019. What you're doing by extending the credit in any form is officially a reduction in revenue, but of course it's an increase in revenue versus what would be referred to as a clean extension, continuing the existing rates. So the fiscal impact or negative revenue is negative $3,175,000 in FY19, negative $6,350 in 2020, negative $5,885 in 21, and negative $5,420 in FY22 and beyond. That's the new baseline based on the 50% across the board with the 1 million cap. I like to think of this, and I believe, Madam Chair, you do too, in terms of the savings versus a clean extension. It's about a $1.2 million benefit in the near term and a $2.1 million benefit in the longer term as we continue this step down. We have not attached a value to the change that Senator Bishop just described, the in-kind donations of equipment. We are pleased with the language that talks about appraisals and regulations. We think we'll be able to work with that. I think it's important that any such equipment have a fair market value, that we don't just get the donor to say what it's worth and we're forced to accept that. There is a little bit of process associated with that. There's going to be a little bit of a form change and a regulation drafting process. I put in a small one-time dollar amount for some of the administrative costs associated with it in this version of the fiscal note that we did not previously had. I hope you don't mind the $50,000, but that is what it's going to cost us to change a number of things to account for the non-cash donations that we haven't previously had in the education tax credit. I talked to the deputy director this morning, and we're both comfortable with that figure. So, again, we saw this over the weekend. I tried to get this to you before the hearing began, but in a nutshell, we're comfortable with the changes at the Department of Revenue.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director Alper, I would ask you that you just go over and talk to Department of Administration, Department of Motor Vehicles, and ask that they have a procedure in place now for titling lost, they have a procedure for titling vehicles that don't have a title. They require you to go over and get an appraisal and then bring that appraisal to them and then physically, you know, bring the trailer to DMV. So there already is a procedure in place for valuing a vehicle and or trailers at DMV. So you might be able just to see if that language might not work, and you might not need the entire $50,000 for a rig package. Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Alper, as you looked at the evolving process that this bill has gone through, where it was 100% over on the House side and went down to 50% when it came out of their finance committee, and it came over on our side, and we've done our changes to it. I guess which of those versions, or is it this version here that you're most comfortable with as far as the representing the administration?
Through the chair to Senator Olson, and I'm not really authorized to speak for the administration on this bill. I was given some general direction to help trim back this credit, and I believe the chair and myself agree that 100% tax credit is inappropriate, and that given the choice, industry would want as much as possible as far as their ability to accept the value. I had personal heartburn with 100%, and I understand why the donors had issue with the immediate drop to 50%. I think it's a fair compromise to have the step down the way the current version of the bill is written. But in general, this is not a tax deduction in the sense where if you donate money through your personal taxes and you save money at your personal tax rate of 30, 35, 25%. This is a tax credit, meaning the way the bill was written, you donate $100,000, you could save $100,000 on your taxes. So having it at 50% in the long run seems to me a quite reasonable number. I think it balances the incentive of companies to want to make a donation to a cause they believe in. They're getting half of it back off their taxes. It's a true partnership where the state is sharing the cost of that donation with the donor. And 50-50 seems a fair split to me personally.
No further questions, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I appreciate your ability to look into the future and to predict how things are going to be. So according to this bill, in 2021, we will go to 50%. And I assume that gives us time to really look at the process and see, is it working, and what is it costing? Is it costing the state too much in taxes? Is it costing those who receive these the benefits of these tax deductions, costing them too much? So do you think that in 2 years we can adequately look back and make not a prediction, but make some assumptions about where this should go in the future?
Through the chair to Senator Stevens, honestly, it probably won't be doable in 2 years, and the reason is the first year with the step-down tax credit eligibility will be calendar year 19. We won't see the taxes paid on calendar year 19 until the fall of 2020, just because of the nature of the largest tax that participates in this is the corporate income tax, and that has a late filing deadline for most companies. So this might be an effort of the 2021 session rather than the 2020 session, simply because of we might not have enough information in time in 2020. You're all aware this is a rich area of statute. It has been amended many times over the years. Pretty much any substantive education bill has had an education tax credit component to it. Something has changed, eligibility, rates, something. So I expect this one will come up again. If I had my druthers and I could rewrite this, I would not have it in seven different places, but write a single statute and that could be referenced to seven different taxes, so that what happened over time is some technical differences among seven different laws that make no sense. It's just the natural erosion of drafting over time. But we can cross that at another time. In 2 or 3 years, we'll know more. We'll also know the state of the economy. I think these donations are as much a function of a company's sense of their own fiscal health and Alaska's fiscal health as the credit rate itself. If they're feeling strapped, they're simply not going to donate as much.
Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate Mr. Albert's perspective.
Thank you. Comments from committee members? Senator Bishop.
I just appreciate working with the chair's office on a compromise. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. It certainly is a compromise, and I would just say that all the credits, all the tax credits that we give to individual Alaskans, whether it's a trailer fee that they're not paying or senior citizens, if it's a physical check or if it is a hunting and fishing license that's free, is all supported by other folks who are actually paying those taxes. And that as we move closer to consideration of taxing individual Alaskans for all these fees, I just find it difficult to continue some of these indirect tax expenses to our state. This all costs money in one way or another, and of course everyone wants to keep the tax breaks that they have become accustomed to. With that, we'll be setting this bill aside. I did ask my staff to go speak with the sponsor. I want to see the fiscal note. It will not leave here with $50,000 to implement an indirect tax or an appraisal fee that's already being done over at DMV. So I need to, we'll issue our own fiscal note after we see Mr. Alpers, but there is no way that it costs $50,000 to set in place regulations that already exist in another portion of Alaska state statute. So we'll at least review that, and I'll look for the committee's support in trying to find a number that will work for the department that does not overinflate the cost of the appraisal portion that was three sentences in our bill. $50,000, pretty heavy for three sentences. Mr. Alper.
Madam Chair, if it's a strong issue of the committee, we're happy to pull that out. It's three sentences seven times, and the issue isn't it's the appraisal will come in from the people. We need some language around that appraisal to use, include terms like fair market value, and there's going to be some forms changes, but I don't want to burden the bill. We can take that out of there if it pleases the committee.
We just need to see a fiscal note. I'm going to please it by removing it if it's there, so you can take it out beforehand if you'd like.
And, Madam Chair, as you're aware, there's some other indirect expenditure legislation floating around that I look forward to your consideration of a little later on.
Thank you, Mr. Alper. With that, we'll set this aside. Representative Tuck, Majority Leader Tuck, we will try to get this back up in front of the capital budget or right behind the capital budget this afternoon. Mr. Alper, I hope we can get that fiscal note by then. Thank you, sir. Is there anything else to come before the committee? We have a meeting this afternoon at 2 o'clock where we will roll out a CS on the capital budget for your consideration. Amendments were due some time ago. We have received and reviewed all those. I would like to speak to the minority leader before we roll out that capital budget, so I'm making every effort to do that this morning. With that, and we are adding under previously bills heard to this afternoon's meeting, HB 212, REAAs, and small muni school district funds. So that bill will be up this afternoon also. With that, Senator Hoffman, we're adjourned.